It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of John, John chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse. We'll begin studying at the sixth verse, but we're going to begin reading at the first verse of John chapter 18. We're going to read down through the 13th verse. And so please that you'll open your Bibles, John chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to send us mail, I would like to give you the mailing address. It is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Our email is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And so if you would like to send us something in that direction, also you'll find there the messages from the radio and also from the Sunday morning message. So please that you would could enjoy those if you have the opportunity to do that. Now once again, John chapter 18, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. John chapter 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come unto him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you. We have the opportunity to come together and enjoy this time of studying your precious word. Help us, Lord, to not veer from the truth, that we stay right where you want us to, Lord, correctly, doctrinally sound. Folks today, sad, Father, that have set aside all of the doctrine, so much of the doctrines of your word, for the word of unity. And Father, we're to be united in you, in spirit, upon your word, the truth, not upon some man-made work. So please, Lord, help us to stay and study your word clearly, simply, and let us learn from that we may come to know you as our Savior, if we don't at this point, and then that we'll begin a wonderful walk and a walk of service and praising and bringing you the honor and glory in all that we do, Lord. Guide and lead us now as we study this precious word, and again, thank you for this time, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We, as I said, would begin with the sixth verse, but if we would look at the fifth, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. He asked a question, the Lord Jesus did, Whom seek ye? In the fourth verse, and they come and says, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And we had looked at the other verses of Scripture last time we were together. This time it's so sad that as we look at the large group of people that come to arrest the Lord Jesus. They do not realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is prepared to die. This is his time. And yet they brought this band, which, as we said last time, was a tenth part of a legion, approximately 500 men. And in Matthew, he calls it a great multitude. They come and they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." They do not recognize him to be the Christ. He is not the living God. He is not the Messiah to them. And that's the reason they've come to arrest him. The Lord Jesus is a thorn in their flesh because he stands for light and is light. And he is perfect. And he just shows them their wickedness and their darkness and their sin, and they don't like it. And instead of getting right and realizing that the Lord Jesus is salvation to them, it is a way to have life and have light. Instead of that, they are rejecting the light and turning aside from it. It's so sad. And we find then they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said to them, "I am he." He did not hide. He did not run away. He announced immediately that it was that I am the Lord Jesus. And we find here a little statement. Judas was right there, the one that was that betrayed him. We looked at some verses last time in Luke 22:52 and Luke 22:47. Now we're going to move on to the sixth verse. "As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground." What a tremendous witness of power the Lord Jesus is expressing here, is showing here. And if you would look with me to John chapter 1, because I would like to go back to that for just a moment. John chapter 1, the 14th verse. It tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God came from heaven down here to dwell among us, to live among us, tabernacled, as the Scripture speaks of. We know here that he is God. He is in complete control, and yet they still do not recognize that. Look at this verse of Scripture. "As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground." It's sad that they fell backward in fear, not forward in worship, as we spoke last time we were together. Let's look back in Psalms. I want you to see a couple of verses of Scripture that speaks of his power and his strength. I hope today that you are not ignoring his power and his strength, because you need to come by faith to Jesus Christ. You need to recognize that he is God. He is the Messiah. He is your Savior, if you'll come and call upon him today and accept that free gift of salvation that he offers. Please do not stand upon some church doctrine that denies you to come by faith and faith alone. You're setting upon works or something of that sort. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Let's look to Psalms 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came unto me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." There is nothing without the Lord Jesus allowing, without God allowing things to happen. It does not happen. And so here they came to arrest him, come to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And yet they thought that they had to come with all this power and all this force to accomplish what they wanted. It was the time that the Lord Jesus was to give his life and offer his life for ours. He became he took our place. He became the sacrifice. We had to pay the price, the debt of sin. He come and paid it in full, because you see, the wages of sin is death. And he paid that price for us. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. please look to the Lord Jesus, because He is the only way. He is salvation to you. Psalms chapter 40, and we look to the 14th verse. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let's go back to chapter 18 in John. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Isn't that much like what we have here in Psalms 40:14? Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Here come this multitude to bring the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as they were concerned, to justice, because he had spoken so clearly that he was God, and they hated that. That was blasphemy to them, and in truth, he is God. He came down here. He performed miracle after miracle. He raised the dead to life. He made the blind to see, the lame to walk. All these things were miracles, things performed that no one could do except he be God. And there's no question. And yet they still denied it and did not want to face it. Why? Because they did not want to face their sinful condition. And the world today has turned aside because they do not want to face their sin. Maybe you're in that same place today, that you have not come by faith to Jesus Christ. You do not see the need to do that. Well, if you're to that place today and you still deny coming to Jesus, you will die in your sin and you will spend eternity in the lake of fire. I don't care where your name is written down on what church roll. That's what's going to happen. So I'm going to ask you and plead with you today. Today is the day for you to come and come by faith and faith alone. Jesus Christ will give you that faith that you may believe and come by faith. Please respond and say, yes, I believe. Yes, I know I'm a sinner. And yes, I need to come to you, Lord Jesus. Please that you do that today and do it so quickly. Do not tarry, but come quickly. Look what happened here. They fell to the ground, and again, instead of coming forwards in worship, recognizing, knowing he is God, listening to his teaching as he was here upon earth, and as they followed him and watched him and witnessed the miracles, and yet instead of that, why, they come and they rejected him to be God. They rejected him as Savior, and instead of falling forwards in worship, they fell back in fear. And we do see very clearly the Lord Jesus is in control. He is in control of the whole situation. And don't think that they came with such force that Jesus had no choice, because he had everything in control. His time was come. We know that when they fell backward, wouldn't that have been a time that you would have escaped, that I would have ran for my life, because I have been released from this great army, and now I can run for my freedom and flee for my life. But the Lord Jesus stood there. He did not escape. When they got back up, would you not have thought that some in that group would have recognized his power, recognized his strength, that yes, he is God. Yes, he is Savior. Please, Lord Jesus, save me. Forgive me for coming and trying to harm you, trying to go against you. But instead of that, we have no record of anyone in the group doing just that. They all got right back up and went right back in pursuing the Lord Jesus once again. Even though this showing of power one more time, even in the time of resting, and he's showing these soldiers and this list. Let me read it for you. The chief priests, band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees. They're the ones that have come. And they have come to do the Lord Jesus this great harm. And to come and show very carefully and very clearly that they were in control and Jesus wasn't, but Jesus showed them one more time without a question, you're not doing anything, nothing that I'm not allowing you to do. And so please that you, isn't it sad that the hearts were not changed or touched at all, doesn't seem to be, by this this showing of his power. They just continued right after the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus answered in verse 7 now, then answered he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. They did not change their tone. They did not change their statement. Seems as though that they had very little, if any change of heart at all. And then we go on. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. And we have that many times through the Scripture. The Word has added the word He, but I am He. But here it's just I am. And that's the God I serve, the God of the I am. And please that you come to the Lord Jesus, know Him, and begin to serve Him. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. If you'll go back to the 17th chapter, verse 12, you'll see a verse that speaks of just that. As we look at chapter 17 of John, verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost. We had a good visit and fellowship over that verse of Scripture, didn't we, when we passed that here a while back, and it was a good time of study. Well, it speaks here the same words. Once again, it says, I have lost none. And so, God is in control. They have worked. They have come. They have decided that they're going to take control of the Lord Jesus, and they're going to bind him, and they're going to take him and nail him to that cross and put him to death. Boy, that's a desire of these religious. Again, look to see who it is. The chief priests and Pharisees. It is not the Roman government that's doing, it's the Jews, the religious group. And they're doing the same thing today. You may even be a part of it. You may be complaining and rejecting the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And by doing that, by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, you are taking part of this group that put the Lord Jesus to death. Well, I'm going to say it a little clearer than that. I took part in putting the Lord Jesus to death. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I love to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive. The Holy Spirit lives within my heart. I love studying His Word. I love fellowshipping with Him. I love Him using me, empowering me to do His service. I love sharing the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection with folks. I love teaching people the Word of God. All those things. But it still comes down that my sin nailed Him to the cross. My sin placed Him at this place, and so did yours. Because, you see, He went to the cross. He died upon the cross. He carried every sin of every individual that has and ever will live upon this earth. He took that load of sin. And so, you see, it wasn't just the band of men and the officers that was directed from the chief priests and Pharisees. It wasn't just them. Yes, they're in the same condition that I'm in, and that is my sin. But you see, when I've come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, I have accepted that gift of salvation. I have accepted Jesus to be my offering, my sacrifice. He has taken my place. And I thank Him and I praise Him. And if you've come by faith through the Lord Jesus and you say that you're saved but you're not serving Him, I don't believe that you really are saved, because if you were saved, you would begin to realize, the Holy Spirit would teach you what great work He has given you, what He has set you free from your sin. He has given you the power and the strength to be a witness and testimony for Him. Why would you not be in service to Him? Why would you not be glorifying His name? Why would you stick yourself back in this world and play the games of the world? Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, begin this walk and begin it very quickly, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be honored and glorified by your life. He gave His life for you. Now you give your life back to Him in service. No, if you don't serve Him, He doesn't snatch that salvation from you. You'll always be saved. He is a God that loves you. He gave His life for you. If you've come by faith to Him, no matter what you've done after that, you're a believer. You're a child of God, and He will keep you. But please don't misuse that wonderful gift. Come and be in service that you may again bring honor and glory to His name. As we continue to look at these verses of Scripture, we have Jesus answered in verse 8, I have told you that I am He. If therefore ye seek Me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which He spake of them, which Thou gavest Me, have I lost none. And it's wonderful to look at that verse of Scripture to see that He is in control. Don't you think that Peter should have been arrested? That he should have been taken away? What did we read about Peter down through here? He cuts the high priest's ear off, the servant of the high priest, his right ear off. Now, you would think that when that would take place, that surely they would not only just take the Lord Jesus, but they would also they would take Peter that has caused this this great ruckus and this pain to this servant of the high priest. But the Lord Jesus said, Thou gavest Me, have I lost none. There was a work that needed to go on that would proceed, would follow after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. This trial, this fake trial and judgment that took place, and then we would set the cross, and He would die on that cross, and He would be placed in that grave, and then 3 days later we know that He comes out of that grave alive. There's a work that needs to be done, and these men are going to begin that work. And the Lord Jesus knows what needs to be taken care of, and so now we find them set into place. And no matter what any man thinks, and why weren't they all arrested? I mean, wouldn't you think if they were going to take the Lord Jesus, let's take all those followers and take those too? No, God's in control. And even Peter, by doing this, and we read this down here in the 10th verse, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Isn't it something how the very name is listed, is given here? Then Jesus said, spake unto Peter, put up thy sword unto thy sheath. The cup which My Father hath given Me, shall I not drink it? That was quite a question for Peter. Shall I not drink that? You know, we find that Peter was a good fisherman, but he sure wasn't much of a soldier. What was he heading for? Was he trying to cut that ear off of this high priest's servant? You think he was trying to cut the ear off? I don't think so. I think he was trying to cut his head off or kill the man, one or the other, as they was about to take the Lord Jesus. And instead of that, we find here that he swung that sword around and he ended up just slicing an ear off. Well, if you'll look with me just a minute, because I want to show you a couple verses of Scripture concerning this incident before we go on. If we can look at Luke 22, and we'll find that in the Scripture here, Luke chapter 22. We're going to the 50th verse, Luke chapter 22, verse 50. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now, you see in Luke, it doesn't say that it was Peter, but in John, it speaks of who had done that deed, and that was Peter. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So in the two Gospels, we continue to grow and learn more about the situation. And so now we come and we... we look at the next verse of Scripture, which is verse 51. And then Jesus answered him, "Suffer ye thus far," and he touched his ear and healed him. Now, in John, he doesn't speak of what has taken place. But the Lord Jesus, now think about all this. Keep this all in mind here, what's going on. Here comes all the soldiers. They were directed by the chief priests and the Pharisees to come and to arrest him, and they wanted him put to death, and they knew that they couldn't do it, so they had to get the Roman government involved in it. And so by doing all these things, why, here came everybody together, and all of a sudden this great multitude come to arrest the Lord Jesus. And Jesus speaks, they all fall backwards, and then they get back up, and instead of realizing who they're talking to here, that it is God, and remembering back some of the miracles and some of the things that the Lord Jesus had said, instead of listening to that, they just continued with a fury to come right back after the Lord Jesus. Now, are you doing the same thing in rejecting the gospel? You know, when I tell you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, when I tell you that he died on the cross for you, and all you need to do is come by faith to be saved, are you denying that? Because if you are, salvation is not yours. I'm not speaking of a denomination, a teaching of a denomination. I'm telling you a teaching of the Word of God. And so please that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus and you trust in Him. Or are you going to be like these? When they got back up, they came right back after the Lord Jesus once again. Immediately they pursued him to go after him. And then we find that Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it. Now, number one, what was he doing with a sword? He's not a soldier, but he had to, and he drew the sword and he snatched off this Malchus's right ear. And in doing so, why, then we find that the Lord Jesus comes up and he touches, and again that's in verse 51 of Luke 22:51. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far," and he touched his ear and healed him. Look at that. He healed this man. Now once again, to watch that ear being just sliced off by that sword, and yet the Lord Jesus then just comes and touches it and it's made whole again. Don't they understand? Don't you understand? Jesus is here to make you whole. He went to the cross to take your sin away, to bring light back into your heart, give you a new heart. You must be born again, John chapter 3 tells us. Please that you look to him. And here we find that once again, that had no bearing on anything. They paid no attention to it whatsoever. And then Jesus said to Peter, "Put up thy sword unto the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Now there's quite a question. The cup that my Father gives me, shall I not drink it? Now you can go back, and we have several verses of Scripture that speaks of the cup. And we're going to take a look at that the next time that we come together, because we're just about out of time already. But we have the cup of salvation. We have the cup of consolation. We have the cup of joy. We also have the cup of judgment, a cup of anger. We're going to look at that in Psalms 116, Jeremiah chapter 16, Psalm 53, Psalms 11, Jeremiah 25. We're going to look at many verses of Scripture. And as we look at those verses of Scripture, I want you to see that this cup of judgment that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bear is not for himself, it is for you and for me. He has went to the cross of Calvary that we will have life. And it's so important that you see that and that you don't miss that. I'm going to take you back to Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, and we will look once again at this verse next time we come together, but I want you to see what I'm talking about. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That was a cup that would not be lifted from him. It's a cup that he would carry, and he would die on the cross of Calvary because of your sin and mine. We need to come by faith to Jesus Christ. We need to trust in him today. He can be your Savior if you'll just come by faith, believe today. Please, that you listen to the call of the Holy Spirit to your heart. I'm going to ask you once again, as I always do, what are you going to do about Jesus?